Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are they who take refuge in him. Amen. Dear fellow believers in Jesus Christ, this past week, as you know, we had our vacation Bible school. And the theme for our vacation Bible school was this. It was making tracks. You see, we focused on trains. And we focused how Jesus is the conductor of our faith and of our life. And we are his precious cargo. In fact, most of the art projects that the children made, they wrote the phrase, "I am precious to Jesus." And it was a blessing to teach these children about Jesus, and it was a blessing to hear these children confess their faith in Christ. And just think about how amazing that really is. Even little children can know and understand about Jesus. They can know and understand that Jesus Christ is their Savior from sin. It is no wonder that God told every single one of us that we all need to have faith like that of a little child. Because children simply believe and trust. Whereas us adults, we tend to be more skeptical. It's easy for us to doubt or to question things. And I'm not saying this is necessarily wrong. We can't believe everything we see on TV. We can't believe everything we read on the internet. We can't always believe what someone tells us. But when it comes to Scripture, God doesn't tell us to question or to doubt. He tells us to simply believe and trust what he tells us. But as sinners, we can try to rationalize Scripture to fit our thinking. We can struggle to believe and trust everything that God tells us in his word. And there are times that we don't listen to what the Old Testament lesson told us. Wisdom is calling us in to leave our foolish life of sin. But there are times when our reason refuses to do that. That's the problem that we have as sinners. But there is a solution to that problem. The solution to that problem is Jesus, who is the bread of life. For he gave us his body, and his body gives us life. Now, when Jesus spoke these words that we heard this morning, it was the day after he miraculously fed the 5,000. 5,000 people ate that food, and physically, they were satisfied. But they were not satisfied in a different aspect. They wanted to take Jesus by force and establish him as an earthly bread king. But Jesus diverted their attention away from a physical, earthly bread king to a spiritual bread king. He said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Just think about how amazing that one verse is. Earlier, the Jews demanded Jesus to give them a sign, just like when God sent down bread from heaven for the Israelites to eat. But Jesus gave them a greater miracle than that. God himself came down from heaven. And unlike the manna that the Israelites ate and they eventually died, this bread offers eternal life. And this bread is Jesus himself who gave his life for the world. But when the Jews heard this, they listened to their logic. They relied on their reasoning. They began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? You can just imagine the confused look on their faces as they were trying to figure out what Jesus was telling them. The Jews thought that Jesus was literally offering his body for them to eat, as if Jesus was going to hand out body parts and limbs for them to feast on. And because of their reasoning, the Jews just couldn't understand what Jesus was saying. But if they weren't confused enough yet, Jesus even pushes the illustration further. I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Jesus told them that not only do they have to eat his flesh, they have to drink his blood. And the idea, the very idea of drinking blood to a Jew is revolting. In fact, it is forbidden of them to drink blood. God told them in the book of Leviticus, none of you may eat blood. And so to the Jews, the idea of eating Jesus' flesh and drinking his blood would be sinning against God. But Jesus warned them what would happen if they don't eat his flesh and drink his blood. If they don't eat his flesh and drink his blood, Jesus said, you have no life in you. But what does Jesus mean by eating his flesh and drinking his blood? Maybe you yourselves are confused about what Jesus is saying here. To eat his flesh and to drink his blood means to believe in him. It may sound weird and odd for us to think that eating his flesh, drinking his blood means to believe in him. But think about what we sang earlier this morning. After we confessed our sins and received God's forgiveness, we sang, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are they who take refuge in him." To eat his flesh and drink his blood means to believe in him. But the Jews, because of their logic and their reasoning, refused to believe in Jesus. And so you might be thinking to yourself, you know, Jesus, couldn't you have said this in a different way so that they could understand what you were saying? Couldn't you have said this in an easier way so that these people would have believed you? The answer to that is no. There was nothing wrong with what Jesus was saying to the people. The problem was that these people listened to their logic, they relied on their reasoning. And it was their reasoning that starved themselves from the bread of life. Does your logic, your understanding, ever starve you from feeding upon the bread of life? Maybe there are teachings of the Bible that you don't believe in. Maybe there are teachings of the Bible that you just can't understand. Your reasoning just can't understand how God created the world in 6 days. Your reasoning can't understand how baptism saves a young child or how communion offers forgiveness for your sins. Your reasoning cannot understand and accept the roles that God has established for men and women in his Bible. And therefore, since you can't understand it, your reasoning tells you, don't believe it. But maybe you don't have a problem with what the Bible says. You simply believe and trust that it is true. But you can also starve yourselves from the bread of life by living a foolish lifestyle. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "Do not get drunk. Speak kindly to one another. Always give thanks to God for everything." And when you hear those words, this is where your logic wants to butt in. This is where your reasoning says, this is foolishness. Don't get drunk. I worked hard this week. I had a bad day. I just turned 21. I deserve to drink too much. And speak kindly to one another? Why should I speak kindly to someone who always annoys me? Why should I speak kindly to someone when they don't speak kindly to me? And give thanks to God for everything? How does it make sense to give thanks to a God who allows sufferings and pain into my life? That is foolishness. There are times when our reasoning gets the best of us. And we can live such a foolish lifestyle as if we never believed in Jesus at all. And the same warning that Jesus gave to the Jews, he gives to you and me as well. That if we don't believe in him, and if we don't move away from our foolish life of sin, then there is no life in us. We are dead. But God did not want us to remain dead. And that is why he sent Jesus, the bread of life, who gave us his body. Even though reasoning cannot understand it, Jesus lived a perfect life. He never lived a foolish lifestyle. He never embraced it. Even though he was tempted in every way that we are, he was without sin. He always believed what God told him to do. He obeyed the will of his Father. And ultimately, as you know, it was the Father's will for Jesus, the bread of life, to give up his body on the cross. And Jesus obeyed that will. He endured the punishment and the death that we have all earned and deserved. But there is a reason that we call Jesus the bread of life. For he did not remain dead in the grave, but he rose to life so that we too could live. Jesus is the bread of life. He gave us his body. But there is another way that Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus did not come down from heaven to leave us spiritually starving, but he came to us to satisfy us spiritually. Jesus is the bread of life because his body gives us life. That's really the main point that Jesus continues to bring up time and time again in this section. And as he continues to speak to these people, he moves away from those who don't believe in him to those who do. He said, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Just think about how amazing that verse really is. All it takes for someone to have eternal life is to believe in Jesus. But that's not all. There's more. Jesus promised that on the last day, he will raise up everyone who believes in him from the dead. On Judgment Day, you will be reunited with your body. And to our reasoning and to our logic, this sounds too good to be true. It sounds unbelievable. But Jesus tells us why this is true. "For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink." He assures us that what he is telling us is real and true. Everyone who believes in him has eternal life. And he goes on to explain why this is true. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him." Just think about how food really works. You eat food and you're satisfied. You're satisfied because that food becomes a part of you. It lives in you. It gives you strength to your body. And that's what Jesus is saying here. That when we believe in Him, He lives in us. And since Jesus lives in us, we are spiritually satisfied. Jesus gives us the strength to walk away from our life of sin and to do His will. Since Jesus lives in us, we too will live. But if there was any doubt still left in your mind that you will live because of Jesus, He assures us by saying, "Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me." Notice the title that Jesus gave to His Father. He calls Him the Living Father. In fact, Jesus said, "I live because of Him." But what does He mean by that? Well, it means He lives because of the Father, because the Father gave Jesus His human life when He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if Jesus lives because of the Father, and since Jesus lives in us, we too will live. For Jesus' body gives us life. And finally, Jesus finishes this message to the people by saying, "This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus is just driving the point home that He is the bread of life and that His body gives life. Unlike the Israelites that ate the manna and eventually died, this bread offers up eternal life. And as you believe in Him, you have life in you. But once again, this is where our logic and our reasoning wants to butt in. For it tells us, you have to believe in Jesus first. You have to accept Christ as your Savior first. After all, Jesus says, "Eat my flesh, drink my blood." That sounds like something you have to do. But that is not the case. And understand just how damaging this reasoning is. If we truly believe that it's up to us to believe in Christ, then the foundation of our faith is not on God and His grace. Instead, the foundation of our faith is on us and how we chose Him. And the truth is, we can't choose Him. Earlier in Jesus' speech that we didn't hear this morning, Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." By nature, we are spiritually dead. By nature, we cannot choose Him. But notice how we did become believers. Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father draws him." The Father has drawn you to Him. He has chosen you to be His child. And He sent the Holy Spirit to create faith in your hearts. For most of you, that happened at your baptism. For others, this was when God spoke to you through His Word. And the Holy Spirit continues to make our faith grow as we continue to hear His Word and partake in the sacrament of communion. And as our faith continues to grow and get stronger, then we are able to leave our lives of sin, not perfectly, but we will back away from the devil and his temptations. It is only through faith and through God, not through our reasoning, that we leave our lives of sin. That is why Jesus is the bread of life, for His body gives us life. And that's exactly what the children of Vacation Bible School sang to you. And allow me to reread the words that they sang to you. "This is my little Bible book. It tells me of God's love. It tells how Jesus died for me so I can live above. This is my little Bible book, and every word is true. And it is so important that I'll share its words with you. God's word is true. And it tells us about how Jesus is the bread of life, who gave us his body, and his body gives us life. Believe what God tells you. And by believing in him, you will live with him above forever. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.